As they drifted through the last airlock and floated out along the weightless axis of Rama, Lieutenant Calvert found himself, as he so often did, in the middle of a movie flashback. He sometimes wondered if he should attempt to cure himself of this habit, but he could not see that it had any disadvantages. It could make even the dullest situations interesting, and who could tell? One day it might save his life. He would remember what Fairbanks or Connery or Hiroshi had done in similar circumstances. This time he was about to go over the top in one of the early 20th century wars. Mercer was the sergeant leading a three-man patrol on a night raid into no man's land. It was not too difficult to imagine that they were at the bottom of an immense shell crater, though one that had somehow become neatly tailored into a series of ascending terraces. The crater was flooded with light from three widely spaced plasma arcs, which gave an almost shadowless illumination over the whole interior. But beyond that, over the rim of the most distant terrace, was darkness and mystery. In his mind's eye, Calvert knew perfectly well what lay there. First, there was the flat circular plain over a kilometer across. Trisecting it into three equal parts and looking very much like broad railroad tracks were three wide ladders, their rungs recessed into the surface so that they would provide no obstruction to anything sliding over it. Since the arrangement was completely symmetrical, there was no reason to choose one ladder rather than another. That nearest to Airlock Alpha had been selected purely as a matter of convenience. Though the rungs of the ladders were uncomfortably far apart, that presented no problem. Even at the rim of the hub, half a kilometer from the axis, gravity was still barely 1/30th of Earth's. Although they were carrying almost 100 kilos of equipment and life support gear, they would still be able to move easily hand over hand. Commander Norton and the backup team accompanied them along the guide ropes that had been stretched from Airlock Alpha to the rim of the crater. Then, beyond the range of the floodlights, the darkness of Rama lay before them. All that could be seen in the dancing beams of the helmet lights was the first few 100 meters of the ladder, dwindling away across a flat and otherwise featureless plain. "And now," Carl Mercer told himself, "I have to make my first decision. Am I going up that ladder or down it?" The question was not a trivial one. They were still essentially in zero gravity, and the brain could select any reference system it pleased. By a simple effort of will, Mercer could convince himself that he was looking out across a horizontal plain, or up the face of a vertical wall, or over the edge of a sheer cliff. Not a few astronauts had experienced grave psychological problems by choosing the wrong coordinates when they started on a complicated job. Mercer was determined to go head first, for any other mode of locomotion would be awkward. Moreover, this way he could more easily see what was in front of him. For the first few 100 meters, therefore, he would imagine he was climbing upwards. Only when the increasing pull of gravity made it impossible to maintain the illusion would he switch his mental directions 180 degrees. He grasped the first rung and gently propelled himself along the ladder. Movement was as effortless as swimming along the seabed. More so, in fact, for there was no backward drag of water. It was so easy that there was a temptation to go too fast, but Mercer was much too experienced to hurry in a situation as novel as this. In his earphones, he could hear the regular breathing of his two companions. He needed no other proof that they were in good shape and wasted no time in conversation. Though he was tempted to look back, he decided not to risk it until they had reached the platform at the end of the ladder. The rungs were spaced a uniform half-meter apart, and for the first portion of the climb, Mercer missed the alternate ones. But he counted them carefully, and at around 200 noticed the first distinct sensations of weight. The spin of Rama was starting to make itself felt. At rung 400, he estimated that his apparent weight was about 5 kilos. This was no problem, but it was now getting hard to pretend that he was climbing when he was being firmly dragged upwards. The 500th rung seemed a good place to pause. He could feel the muscles in his arms responding to the unaccustomed exercise, even though Rama was now doing all the work and he had merely to guide himself.
"Everything okay, Skipper," he reported. "We're just passing the halfway mark. Joe? Will? Any problems?"
"I'm fine. What are you stopping for?" Joe Calvert answered.
"Same here," added Sergeant Myron. "But watch out for the Coriolis force. It's starting to build up."
So Mercer had already noticed. When he let go of the rungs, he had a distinct tendency to drift off to the right. He knew perfectly well that this was merely the effect of Rama's spin, but it seemed as if some mysterious force was gently pushing him away from the ladder. Perhaps it was time to start going feet first, now that down was beginning to have a physical meaning. He would run the risk of a momentary disorientation.
"Watch out! I'm going to swing round!"
Holding firmly onto the rung, he used his arms to twist himself round 180 degrees and found himself momentarily blinded by the lights of his companions. Far above them, and now it really was above, he could see a fainter glow along the rim of the sheer cliff. Silhouetted against it were the figures of Commander Norton and the backup team, watching him intently. They seemed very small and far away, and he gave them a reassuring wave. He released his grip and let Rama's still feeble pseudo-gravity take over. The drop from one rung to the next required more than 2 seconds. On Earth, in the same time, a man would have fallen 30 meters. The rate of fall was so painfully slow that he hurried things up a trifle by pushing with his hands, gliding over spans of 12 rungs at a time, and checking himself with his feet whenever he felt he was traveling too fast.